a sermon that I began last week, Food for Your Soul. Now, I have to ask everyone out there, I've already asked everyone here. As you know, last week I was on vacation and it was pre-recorded. I like to do those because if I preach something that's controversial, I don't have to deal with the people afterwards. I can just be wherever I am, right? So I got to ask, I'm going to ask here in front of everybody, how many of you listened to the sermon and did what the sermon told you to do? Don't you dare raise your hands. Because I'll tell you right now, that was a tough sermon to understand, wasn't it? It was a tough sermon to go under. But each and every one of us needs to understand that there was truth in that sermon, and that truth is what we're going to build upon today. Because there is food for our souls, and many of us in the church are not being well nourished. Many of us are taking little tidbits and expecting that to last a week. And God says no, because as much as we have a physical relationship with this world and how we operate, so too we need to have a spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father, which leads unto eternal life. The physical things of this world lead unto physical life for a period of time. Spiritual life is the same way. We have to partake of spiritual food. We must exercise ourselves spiritually and be active in that spiritual world in order to grow and sustain that which we are, which is physical eternal beings. So today, I want to encourage each of you out there that have been with us to continue with that spiritual diet of partaking regularly the Word of God. Amen? And coming before Him in the grace and mercy of His life. So today, I want us to look at something that I think is rather amazing, but it's a statement that Jesus Himself makes, and we need to understand it and come under it. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 4, because we're going to be looking at the unknown food. For there are many in the church who do not know of this food, who are unaware of this food, and therefore do not partake of this food that is meant to sustain us, to provide for us, and to give us the spiritual nourishment that we will need to continue forward. And this is the word of our Lord. He is speaking to us Himself here. We're in the 31st verse. Where we're going to begin, and then we're going to read through verse 38. From the 31st verse of the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, we read these words. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples were saying to one another, "No one brought him anything to eat, did he?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For this is the case, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I send you out to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." There's a lot there, and I'm going to try and unpack some of that for you. But the first part of it that I want us to look at is the very first statement Jesus says here from verse 34. All right? He tells them that he has food to eat, but then he says, "My food is what? To do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Now, We all know that Jesus Christ is the model of our spiritual lives, that we are to model, he is the model for us, and that we are to be like him. We are to do the things that he did. We are to follow his commands. We are to act as he acted. And I'm going to say this to you. If Jesus himself was fed through doing the work of God the Father and accomplishing the work thereof, okay, another way of saying that, and finishing the work, do you think that for us there might be some correlation? Yes. One of the things I need you to understand is the fact that not only as you are sitting here are you taking in the Word of God, are you being fed, but when you are literally doing the will of God, God himself is feeding you just like he is right now. You all think, oh man, Pastor is so good. I ain't that good. Believe me. Ask Ruth. She's upset with me today. You see, I'm human. I'm gonna piss some of you people off. Get over it. I do all the time. Because here's the reality. It ain't what you want and it ain't what I want. It's what he wants. And that's where we gotta live. Because it's in that we find life. Don't you love it? We live in a world that tears us down and we want to emulate it in everything that we are and say, I are Christian. No, you aren't. You are broken. And God will make you a Christian as you submit to him and do his will and accomplish his work. Okay? I want you to think about something because, like I said, the one translation says, and finish his work. Did Jesus finish God's work here on earth? It's a trick question. There you go. That's an answer from an elder. Yes and no. He finished the work of salvation, didn't he, Brother Brom? Because only he could finish that work. But then he left. And he left a whole lot of work for you and I to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I need you to understand today. He finished the work that he needed to do. He finished his portion. But we have a work to do. And that's what this other section here below that, when you start reading 35 through 38, that's what that is talking about. That is the work that is yet left to be done. All right? We're going to get into that. We're going to chew that up. And we're going to see just what that means. But I want you to understand something. I need you to understand that the food that Jesus was speaking of here when he talks about I have food and then he describes it, what he is talking about here is spiritual food. And that spiritual food comes from one place and one place only. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And it's not food like you and I are thinking, all right? My wife made a beautiful stew last night. Had a big, nice deer roast in there, okay? Nice deer roast and potatoes and baby carrots and celery and onions and gravy. Oh, yeah, baby, when we make stew, it's gravy. It's not water. And, oh, man, she had bread there on the table. It was a meal fit for a king. She calls me her king. I lie. She has never called me her king. But that meal was a physical meal, and that's what we know as food for our physical body. It has physical mass and sustenance, but the food for our souls does not come with mass. It comes with power, all right? I want you to think about something. When I ate that food last night, what did my body do to it? My body broke it all down and turned it into sugar, okay? Even the proteins got broken down and turned into sugar. Takes a little bit more time to do that because that's what our body burns, is sugar. And excess sugar gets stored into fat. And then that gets broken down into sugar over time if your body's going to break it down. Mine likes to store it, pack it away for those rainy days. I keep telling it, Noah's gone. It ain't going to happen no more. But it don't believe me. But one of the things I want us to understand is if that is for the physical, and we need that sustenance, we need that energy. Remember, we've got to take that physical food and break it down into energy. What do you think the Holy Spirit feeds us? Pure energy, right from the Father himself. You and I don't have to break it down. It's already broken down. It is in its natural form. It is in the form of the power of the Spirit. It is spiritual energy unto spiritual things. And it's so amazing to me. Today, I have a very spiritual thing happening, and not just preaching here today. You know, you all know I get pumped up from this, but I also get spent from this. I get pumped up to present it. I get pumped up to bring it, but when I'm done with this, I go home and crash for about 2.5 hours. And then I get back up, and it's amazing because then I'm able to go on for my day. But the Lord literally pours out through me. But today, I don't get that nap. Do you know why? Because as soon as I leave here, and I'm not sticking around for discipleship, unfortunately, I got some travel time in between these two things, I'm doing an ordination. I'm doing an ordination. I mean, come on, folks. We're talking about bringing a pastor, a gentleman who has studied, who has spent the time, who has gone through about 6 years of his life in school, in theological seminary, in the church, doing the things that he needs to do to bring forth that final accomplishment that says, yes, we see the hand of God on you and we are setting you apart unto the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man, what a spiritual feeding do you think his pastor is going to get today? Because, oh my, do you think the Holy Spirit's not going to be in the house if this is a true man of God who is getting hands laid on him? Because remember, that is how the apostolic rule has carried on, through the laying on of hands, all the way from the beginning. From Peter and James and John and the rest of the apostles, as they laid hands one to another and passed that Holy Spirit down, as they passed that anointing down, that very anointing was laid upon me, and now I get to take that anointing. The power of God, look at the goosebumps. The power of God poured out in reality, energy ready for the charge. How many of you are ready for the charge today? You're all looking at me smiling, saying, man, you can tell he was on vacation, can't you? Yeah. We all need that. We need to get away from the world and get into God for just a little bit. You would be amazed at what it does. And I'm going to talk about that over the next 2 weeks. Because the next 2 weeks, I'm going to show you how to get a Snickers bar in the middle of the time. You know, how many of you have ever been hangry? Everybody knows what hangry is, don't you? Because of the commercials. Angry hungry or hungry angry? Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to show you how to get a Snickers bar in the middle of the week. A spiritual Snickers. And you may not like Snickers. You may have a Hershey's Almonds or, you know, a whatchamacallit. Okay, a Kit Kat. Whatever it's going to be. All these candy companies out there are saying, oh, we did not assign on to that. Well, suck it up too. Because here's the reality. God has a food for us. And it's going to come in bite-sized pieces throughout the week. But we've got to be willing to see it and receive it and work in it and be what God wants us to be according to his will to accomplish his work. That's what Jesus just told us. It's not about what we want, it's about what he wants. Now, Missy, does that mean that you should give up your job and just do whatever God tells you to do? No, absolutely not. See, there's a smart woman. Chuck, you married up. And we all know that God has given us the jobs that we have, hasn't he, Miss? He has given us those jobs for a time. I mean, I want you to think about this. How many of you have changed jobs over time? Of course, I have. I started out as a lawn mower when I was 14. And I went from lawn mowing to delivering newspapers. And then I gave up to that. That was harder work than lawn mowing. Gave that up And I went into the machine trades as a machinist. I was a machinist for 20 years. This is amazing. December 6th, I will be in Lebanon 20 years. I will be called in Lebanon 20 years, December 6th of this year. Okay? I've been a minister since 1997. That's when I became a licensed pastor. And I think about that, and I think about, you know, God wants me where he wants me, but while I'm there doing the work that I'm supposed to do for my employer, I'm also supposed to be doing the work of God in my workplace. Hence the book that the men are studying, The Gospel at Work. How can we be Christ in the place where we work? Now, that's a difficult situation because I want to tell you something. If you're standing around for 45 minutes evangelizing somebody, you're stealing from your employer. Did Pastor just say that? Yes, he did. Because the reality is you're there to do a job for your employer. And you need to be about it. But how many of you have breaks? How many of you live your life, be Christ in front of these people? That's what it's talking about. And it's going to show these men, show us men, how to do that on a better basis. That was a shameful plug. I don't care because we need to learn. Amen? We need to grow in the Lord. And I know that's what Ruth Ann's doing. When we look at this retreat, this wonderful retreat, I have to cheat. I got the cheat sheet here. It says, order, disorder, reorder. Isn't that what happened in our lives just this past year? Okay? We had everything in order. How many of us thought we had our lives in order before COVID? You know, we all did. We all thought, yeah, reasonably, my life's in good order. And then COVID came in and it screwed everything up, right? There was nothing wrong in your life before COVID came in. That's what y'all want to think. We got to blame it on something. So now we have this disorder, but we want to reorder. Because we want to get things back. And that is what you women are going to be looking at. The ladies are going to be going to the mountains, and you're going to be teaching on that study. I recommend you go. If there's any lady here that's hearing my voice, if you're out there and you're hearing my voice, come to church. Sign up and go with these ladies. $75 for a wonderful weekend. You won't regret it. Ruth Ann's like, we've only got 15 spaces, Pastor. So we'll fill them. What's that? So we can do and be what God wants us to be as we look at our lives and turn them over to Him. Because it is the spiritual food, the power of the Holy Spirit at work in and through us that we need to reckon with, that reckons with us. That is the food of our souls. I want you to turn, if you would, to the book of John in chapter 14. John in chapter 14. Now, please, don't just throw out this because we're going to be coming back to John 4. But I need you to go to John 14. This is the only two scriptures that we're going to be dealing with today. John 14. And we're going to begin in verse 12. We're going to begin in verse 12. And then we're going to move forward. This is the Lord Jesus speaking to you and I concerning the things that I just read from John 4. All right? Jesus says to us from verse 12 in the 14th chapter of the book of John, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him nor know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. pardon me, I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me. I just lost my spot. No longer see me. But you will see me because I live. You will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and that you are in me, and that I am in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. When we read those words, when we look at those very truths, the Holy Spirit is going to be coming from the Father for what purpose? First, the purpose is to convict men of sin, all right? But the second purpose is that we who are in Christ can be empowered to do and be the will of God. Jesus says here, greater things than I have done will you do. What does he mean by that? Does he mean by that that you're going to bring salvation to the world? No, he's already accomplished that work. We've already spoken that. But in the work of salvation, we are going to do greater things than that which he himself has done. What do I mean by that? I want you to keep a finger there, if you will, and flip back. Again, like I said, these are things that we have to understand, and we've got to bring them into the timeline and light that God has brought for us. From verse 35, it says in the John 4, all right? We've already read it. It was already up on your screen, but listen again to these words. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that are white for harvest. In other words, Jesus is saying, hey, the work's already begun. The Holy Spirit has already begun the work in the world. But now we need you to come along because he's going to empower you to get out there and harvest that stuff. And what is that stuff? It's people's lives. It's not stuff. It's people. It is your brethren. It is your brothers and sisters in Christ. It may be a family member. It may be a loved one. It may be someone you work with. And I'm going to tell you right now, it has a tendency to be people that you hate. Ask me how I know sometime. You've all heard the story, if you've been with me. And God reproach me for having been such a fool. Because I love that brother now, as I should have long before. But each of us needs to understand, Jesus is telling us the harvest fields are ripe with the harvest. He's already prepared it. Somebody was out there tilling the ground. How many of you till the ground? How many of you have been on our prayer walks? I want to see a whole lot more hands in the air next week. Next week is our prayer walks. We need to get out there and we need to till the soil. One of the things that you and I need to understand, there's a reason that the church is weak. There's a reason that the church is not succeeding. And that reason is because the people of the church are not doing the will and the work of the church. Yep, talking to the church. Many of us don't like to hear that, but I got other things to do. Well, remember that when you get to heaven. And Jesus says, what you doing here? Boy, that's stark, isn't it? Boy, Pastor, you ain't being nice. I'm not paid to be nice. I'm paid to tell you the truth. And that's what I'm here to do. Jesus spoke the truth. Did they like everything Jesus said? You know, I think it's funny. People tell me as a pastor, they say, well, you know, you need to tell us the good things. Jesus looked at the people and said, you are vipers. He says, you are as dogs returning to your vomit. And everybody loved and bowed down to him, right? Brothers and sisters, hear the rebukes. Because it are those rebukes that truly change us from where we are and get us to understand God is talking to us in truth. I'm talking to you in truth. I didn't build this thing. I'm telling you, I had the most fun on my vacation when I was sitting. I was 13 miles out in the ocean, sitting in a boat. I couldn't catch a fish if I'd have paid for it. But, buddy, I was fishing for men, because the whole time I'm out there, God's laying this sermon on my heart for the next 3 weeks. I knew where we were going. I just didn't know the depth. And here I am in 90 feet of water, and I began to plumb the depths. And I'm telling you, I may not have caught a fish, but wow, did I catch a vision. And we need to understand, God has for us things in store to do, to walk with Him, to be fed by Him. He's already got the work prepared, and we are not alone in that work field. Look what He says. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal. What do you say? Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. You and I are not going to do it all. We can't do it all. We aren't Jesus Christ. He accomplished the work of salvation. He was the only one that could. But the rest of the work that needs to be done is teamwork, where He wants you and I working hand in hand, some of us plowing the soil, some of us removing the rocks, some of us watering it, and some of us reaping the harvest. But guess what happens when the reaper reaps the harvest? It gets paid forward. Everybody who's been involved, it gets accredited to their account. Do you hear this word? Because it is being banked up for us in the eternal depository. And you and I, who are merely laborers, we are not the ones who do this. It is the power of the Holy Spirit in us doing these things. We get the accreditation. Show me a bank on earth where they will do that. Don't they use your money to make money? And they want to give you 0.5%. Jesus gives it all to you, everything. Isn't that what He says? I give it all to you. And it's all ours. Man, I'm telling you, between this physical world and the spiritual world, I think I'd much rather work in the spiritual world. I know that's what I'm called to do. But I also want us to understand that we work together. He says, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many people have worked on this before you. You and I are simply coming along and building on that foundation. Hence, there's one foundation. Amen. And that is Jesus Christ. And when we build on that foundation, if Missy starts building on it, and then Ruth Ann picks up from there, and then Bobby goes over and grabs a hold of it, and we can build this thing into a 30-story building, as long as it is built on the rock of Jesus Christ, it will not tumble and it will not fall. But if it is built on anything less, it will fail. And that's where you and I have to understand. When Jesus here talks about greater things, He is talking about kingdom work that you and I are going to do. He accomplished the work of salvation, but we are going to grow the church. When Jesus left here, how many people were in the church? I want you to really think about this. How many people were in the church when Jesus left for heaven? Actually, none. Marion's over here and she's going, oh, there's none. Because the Holy Spirit didn't come when Jesus left. The Holy Spirit came 40 days later when the church was born. We need to understand, Jesus finished the work of salvation alone. The church was not born at that moment, not while He was doing it, nor after it was done. But that came when the Holy Spirit came. The church and the Holy Spirit are one. We are one. And that's what Jesus says here in the second portion. That you will be in the Father, and I will be in you, and you will be in me, and our love will be complete. Brothers, this is the picture that I want each and every one of us to get. Just as God fed the Father unto the salvation of every soul, he too will bring to us the power to do the work of the church in every work, in every manner, as we submit to him. And he will empower you to do so, but you have got to have the desire to work with him and in him. Man, this is a work. You know, I laugh because so many times I've heard people say, well, but Pastor, you know, you're so good at this, you know, can't you do it? No. My job, what I am to do as a pastor, biblically, is to equip you to do the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's my anointing. That's my call. That is what God has apportioned for me to do. Who has he apportioned to be the church? I got one person answering me out of 30-something. I got one person answering me. Who is to be the church? I think I had 5 people answer me that time. Who is to be the church? That's a little better. It's my job that one day you will literally all say, when something like that is said, me, we, together. And that day will come when we get to heaven, all right? But until that day, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep teaching you. I'm going to keep, you know, I'll change a couple of diapers because we get upset. And, you know, hey, pastor's got broad shoulders, all right? Sometimes it may not seem that way because I'm human too. But we need to remember, each and every one of us is fallen. Tell me one person who isn't. And if there is not grace among us, then we are not receiving the grace of God. And it is in that grace that God has us work and move. As my anointing calls me to bring forth the equipping of the saints, I have got to be ready in my life to be disappointed. So too, I pray that you are with me, because I'm not Jesus Christ. I've only got one mark in my hand. He had 2, and his feet and his head and his side, all right? I'm not even 1/5 what Jesus was. I love that. That isn't that cool? I mean, that is just so cool. I'm not 1/5. But yet, as that 1/5, if I am 1/5, I am to do far greater things than he has done. You are to do far greater things than he has done. How are you going to do that if you don't partake of the food that God has for you? To do the will and the work of him who has sent us. And please remember, we are now sent. If you are in Christ, you are sent. You are sent because God tells us, love him, love others, and pray with me this day. Father God, we have heard your word. We have had to wrestle with it, and we're going to continue to wrestle with it because, Lord God, it calls for us to get out of our comfort zone. It calls for us to get involved. You call us to you, and that's the truth of it. You call us to be where you are and to act and be your hands, feet, and voice. So, Lord God, I pray that you would empower each and every person who is here and to all those within my hearing, that they would become the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, to be empowered to eat that unknown food. For it has now been made known. And once it is made known, you are accountable to it. So, Lord, may we give it account. And may we truly grow in the power and the might of your word. And may we be fed daily as we do the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.